Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, we've got to do it remotely, but it is good to be with you today. We're continuing our Friday series here in the month of March, where we talked about he kept, he fought, he finished. We're talking about the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we've been exploring this idea that lots of people start, not everybody finishes. And some people finish, but they don't really finish well. And so what does it take to finish well? In episode one of this little series, we went back and we talked about a good and an honest heart from the parable of the sower. Last Friday, we talked about this powerful idea of being entrusted with a spiritual legacy, holding on to that, keeping it faithfully. Today, we move into another phrase, and why don't you introduce that for us?
Sure. You know, just reading the verse once again, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And as we said last time, there's two things that come out of that. First of all, those are all action words. Those are not words of someone on the sidelines. This is not words of someone else. That, you know, this is all active words. And then we find these are personal words. I have fought. I have finished. I have kept. And it's not the church. It's not the nation. It's individual action. Our faith leads us to that. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at that first expression. I have fought the good fight. And talk about that concept. That expression is used several times in the book of Timothy. He ends 1 Timothy chapter 6 by saying that in verse 12. He would say there, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. And so Paul's telling us that he has done that. There was a fight. He was engaged in it and he fought it. So on the initial surface, Christians and fighting seems to be opposite. I think the image a lot of people have of Christians is that we're pacifists. We don't engage in confrontation. We run from fights. And that's not the language we get here. I have fought the good fight. Now, we need to explain and talk about what fight he's fighting and how we do that. But we notice he was engaged in battle. And there are numerous passages that kind of bring that idea out, putting on the full armor of God. The very idea of armor is that you're engaging in warfare. Paul would say, you know, our warfare, our conflict is not of this world, but it's against invisible things of the world. So throughout the scriptures, we find this idea that Christians are to be engaged in a type of warfare. So let's begin by saying, what are we talking about here?
Right. You mentioned Ephesians chapter 6. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling. And he says, against the rulers, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, against cosmic powers over this present darkness. That is why we need armor. That is why we need to stand. You referenced earlier his statement that this is a fight of faith. And the more you think about this, you see it all over the writings of the New Testament. Jude in verse 3 encourages Christians to contend for the faith. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about the affliction we experienced in Asia, and he couches that in terms of a fight. This was a difficult struggle. He said we felt like we had received the sentence of death. In Philippians chapter 1, he talks about being set for the defense of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about the figure of running a race or exercising self-control, not running aimlessly, not boxing as one that is beating the air, but disciplining his body. He talks about the aim of every soldier is to please the one who enlisted him. This is language that is all over the place.
So let me jump in and throw another verse in. It's a great verse to fit in with this. And that's last verse of Revelation 12, verse 17.
Okay.
So the dragon was enraged with the woman, went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and to hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Sure.
So one of the things we have to realize is that as disciples of Jesus, we're in enemy territory. We sing that hymn, "This world is not my home." If it's not my home, whose home is it? It's not mine. It belongs to the enemy. And once you put on Christ, the enemy is after you. And so there is a fight we have to fight.
Absolutely. Now, the question, like you mentioned earlier, is, okay, we need to make sure that we don't take this as license just to strap on a sword and be ready to go at it against anybody around us. There is a reason that he describes this as a good fight. And so what is it, Roger, you think that he has in mind that makes this fight a good fight?
You know, and I think another word would be a noble fight. It's a fight of character and principle. And, you know, we're not stooping to the tactics of the enemy. We've heard years ago of people who were, you know, they were so opposed to abortion that they bombed abortion clinics. Well, you know, you're harming people. You know, abortion's wrong, no question, but you don't go around harming people to do this. So it's a good fight because we're following the principles of Jesus. And I think it's a good fight because of the territory we're fighting for. It's not the preservation of the country. It's not my savings account. We're fighting for homes and hearts and congregations. And we remind ourselves in the book of Romans that Paul said that we are more than conquerors. Another phrase that illustrates this conflict that we're in. So we have to see that, you know, Jesus multiple times told his disciples, people are going to like darkness rather than light. You're going to be hated because of me. He even went so far as saying your own father and mother may hate you because of me. And so this conflict because of who Jesus is and we're walking with Jesus causes hostility. Now, we don't push back. We don't fight back physically. But it's a good fight because the weapons we use is the word of God. We use truth. And error always flees. Error is always overcome when it faces the truth of God's word.
So what do you think we need to keep in mind? We hear Paul describing that this is a fight. Here at the end of his life, a part of finishing and finishing well is being able to say, I have fought that good fight. I think it would be helpful to us on an ordinary Friday to think, okay, if I am going to reach the end of my life and finish well, able to say, I have fought the good fight, what sort of things do I need to keep in mind? What do I need to do and to be as a disciple of Jesus to accomplish that same thing?
You know, we have a hymn that says, stand up for Jesus. I think that's one way we do that is unashamedly, as he'd say in Romans 1:16, I'm unashamed of the gospel, that we stand for the principles of God. And when we hear coworkers, we hear friends, we hear family members who are ridiculing or misusing the Bible or just really mocking God, we stand. Now, we're not going to get ugly. We don't have to get in a shouting match, but we say, here's what the Bible says. Here's what God tells us to do. Here's how we're to follow God. And then part of that, I think it begins first in our hearts, because that's where the real battleground is, our hearts. Yeah. From that, our homes and to our congregations. So we can help this fight, or we can hurt this fight. We can be on God's side, or we can be on the enemy's side. A lot of stuff that we read, even though it's on social media, even though they're books written by people that claim to be Christians, they may not be sound doctrine. They may not be healthy. They may hold some things that's not true to God's word. If I start chasing down those roads and start believing stuff that's not in the Bible, you know, I'm going to lose the battle. So part of defending is standing with the truth of God's word. This is what the Bible says. Don't have to be ugly about it. Don't have to be a shouting match with somebody about it, but you can be confident. You can be solid. Now, give you for instance, okay? Flavor of the month now in religious bookstores is multiple books about people who claim they died, they went to heaven, and they came back. And they all write a book. I can say unequivocally they're false, okay? Because the only way to come back from the dead is a resurrection. That doesn't just happen naturally. It takes a man of God to do a resurrection. Those days have ended. Apostle Paul, when he went to the third heaven, heard things, but it's unlawful for an inspired apostle to repeat them. And then a lot of what these things say, and I've read these books, they're just fanciful ideas. It's not true to the scriptures. So I can read those kind of books. And I can build and manufacture a whole idea that, you know, when I'm going to go to heaven, it's going to be lollipops and puppy dogs and roller coasters and just a selfish me attitude. But that's not according to scripture.
Yeah.
Or I can say that stuff's not right because I know what the Bible teaches.
Well, and increasingly, I think that is a major front for disciples of Jesus in 2021, where in the minds of so many in our culture, as long as someone is sincere or appears to be sincere, then the most offensive thing anyone could ever possibly tell them is, you're wrong. You're out of bounds. You're heading in the wrong direction. We live in an intolerant age that is claiming to be tolerant, if that makes sense. We live in this age where everything goes and everything is tolerated except being intolerant, right? And in the minds of so many, if you are willing to stand up and say, well, there is truth and error. There is right and wrong, light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness, purity and sin. We cannot take for granted that people are on that same page the way that many generations before us have taken. We live in an age where just the way of looking at the world itself is a battlefront, and being willing to stand up and call sin what God calls sin oftentimes will lead to a conflict. But what I hear you saying, and I think accurately so, is sometimes that is a good fight to wage, especially perhaps as parents in the hearts of our children who are growing up breathing this air, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, they're going to be hearing all kinds of things from their friends and all kinds of things on TV and social media. And I mean, even major corporations that we've grown up and we love, they're pushing agendas and they're trying to get everyone to accept whatever is politically correct. And often what's politically correct is not biblical. And to say, okay, you don't get a choice when you grow up to decide what kind of male or female you're going to be. God has already decided that when you're born. That's what the Bible teaches. We did not evolve. The Bible teaches God created. And I mean, there's some, you know, so our times today has very few absolutes. The only absolute is there's nothing absolute. That's the only thing the world believes in. And we see that God has put some stakes down in the ground. And these are some bedrock truths. And when people want to move those stakes of God, want to move the boundaries, we might say, imagine playing the game and somebody keeps moving the boundary lines. You can't do that. And we have to say, no, this is what God has said. Real common today for people to think that God's talking to them directly. You know, I don't know what's in the Bible, but God told me this. Well, read your Bible. He doesn't talk that way. And so when we talk about fighting the good fight of faith, it's really standing up for the Bible, standing up in a positive, confident, bold way. And again, doesn't have to be ugly. Don't have to have a fight, but you got to have confidence. This is what God says. This is the way it is. God's unmovable. And when we have that absolute trust and faith, it gives us confidence. And all kinds of fastballs can be thrown at us through the hand of Satan. But we say, you know what? These just are not right because I know what the Bible teaches. And so Paul had fought the good fight of faith. You know, I think a fair question to ask is to look at the opposite of this. Had Paul not fought the good fight of faith, what would have been the opposite of that?
Yeah, well, it would have been either surrender, right? Yeah. Or apologizing for what God had made clear. We see a lot of that in our modern culture. Ultimately, either one of those would have ended up with Paul being on the opposite side of truth, the opposite side of the gospel, the opposite side of the Lord. And that is the absolute worst place you can possibly be, especially at the end of your life, where Paul is as he writes 2 Timothy chapter 4.
So one of the, I guess if we'd say prerequisites of these things is you got to know what truth is. You got to know what God says. I can't fight the fight if I don't know which side the enemy is, which side I'm on. And I got to know what God says. And so that just behooves us to spend some time in the Bible and say, okay, on these doctrinal issues, on these moral issues, what does God say? And it's not like putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. I mean, it's not difficult. It's just a matter of looking at it and then getting our hearts lined up with the Lord and then to do those things.
Well, and I think maybe that's a good note to close on, what you just said, getting our hearts in line with the Lord. I want to circle back to something you said several minutes ago, that the first battlefield of this for all of us is our own hearts and our own minds. That made me think of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where he says, though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war against the flesh or according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. We've talked a lot about that, but then you see as he drills down where he ultimately lands, we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And I think that is where the battle is going to hinge, right? I can make a really good argument to someone else as to why they ought to live a certain way. But if I am not daily taking my own thoughts captive, I may be telling them the truth and undermine the truth by the way that I choose to live.
That's it exactly. And so we have to be convinced ourselves. And, you know, Paul would say in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, I know whom I have believed. And when we have that confidence, that understanding, this is what God wants me to do. It doesn't matter what you see out there. Doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. You understand what God wants. You don't have to study everything that's crooked to know what's straight. You just look at what the Bible teaches, and that will help you. And so at the end of his life, he could say, I have fought the good fight of faith. And tracing Paul's life through the book of Acts, you see that. You never see Paul engaging in fist fights. You never see him being in the center of violence. That was never his call. He got violence done to him by the enemy, but he always remained true to the Lord. He was not ashamed being alone or being in the crowd to speak. This is what the Lord wants us to do.
Can you imagine? He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the aim of every soldier is to please the one who enlisted him. And can you imagine as he writes at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight, what it's like to finally stand before the one who by grace enlisted him. No regrets. Paul led a hard life. It was a hard fight, a long race with a lot of hurdles, but no regrets whatsoever. Go ahead.
It makes us think of what the Lord said to the five-talent man and the two-talent man. Well done, good and faithful. Well done.
Yeah. So. He kept, he fought, he finished. Such a simple idea, but one that we hope has helped you think personally about the ups and downs of the past year and hopefully the opportunities that lie before you as 2021 continues to stretch out before us. We appreciate you listening in. We've got, Lord willing, one more episode next Friday, March 26th, where we'll wrap this series up. But in the meantime, Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. As we head into the weekend, we hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for this fight and this journey. We encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.